Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with former Major Leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. and Odyssey Insider Cody Decker.
We are finally into the full sprint of the 2022 baseball season. Welcome into Big Time Baseball. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside my man Cody Decker. Cody, first, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, living the dream. It's so weird. You and I on different... This is normally a you, me, and John problem. This is always... We gotta wrangle John from the East Coast and figure it out for us West Coast boys. But here I am on the East Coast creating all the problems that John Heyman creates on this show.
Yeah, the connectivity can be a little bit of an issue with an East Coaster and a West Coaster. But we've made it work this week. Let's start with Albert Pujols. Reached a milestone, gets to 700. He does it in only an Albert Pujols machine type of way. Two homers, same night in Los Angeles. This is, in my opinion, the best right-handed hitter that I have ever seen. And he's top two. He's top two in my book in terms of just a hitter. But what a milestone.
I mean, it's 700. Four people in the history of the game. You know what? I'll go five people. Let's throw Sada Araō on there, too, from Japan as well, who also hit like 800 career home runs. But outside of that, I mean, I also think we should talk about Josh Gibson and all the home runs he hit as well. But like, this is such an elite of an elite of an elite of an elite group. I mean, this isn't even Hall of Fame. This is a subsect of Hall of Fame. Like I have a co-host on the Carton Show, Craig Carton, who makes the joke all the time that Babe Ruth never existed. He's a folk hero like Paul Bunyan. It's not a real thing. And of course you think that all the things we ever heard about Babe Ruth our whole life, like that can't be real. And it is real. We've watched it with Albert Pujols all for the last 20 years. And if you were not excited about it, basically I think Dave Roberts's reaction to home run number two that night says everything you need to say.
Yeah, let's just say he had to have a quick flash and come back to where he was, because for a second I think he forgot Albert was no longer on his team.
He's like, oh, he ain't wearing blue. And immediately shut his mouth and pretended nothing happened.
It was such a genuine moment. That's hilarious. No. Yes, but I mean, in terms of sluggers, where's he at on your list?
I mean, he's got to be, if not one. And here's why: in me, it's got to be one. But I'm also a slave to my own generation. Obviously, I grew up in the '90s, 2000s. Got to play at the same time as Albert Pujols. By the way, I was able to go through my entire high school career, college career, professional playing career, and now like 4 years of media before Albert Pujols decided to hang him up when he made his rookie year debut my freshman year of high school. So like, what can you say? He's got to be the greatest of all time. In my eyes, obviously, I didn't have the luxury of seeing Hank Aaron. And I'm sure if I grew up in that era, Hank Aaron is the greatest home run hitter of all time. But from what I've gotten to see, it's Albert Pujols, and it's a distant second to everybody else, for everyone else.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, Albert is up there. The Albert is, in my opinion, top two.
You know, obviously, Barry. I mean,
Barry is in that same. I mean, but that's where he's at. That's where Albert is at, in my opinion. And listen, I get people are going to feel how they feel about Barry, but even before that, Barry was the dude.
He's Barry. And he was Barry. He was always Barry.
So, the mere fact that we're talking Barry and Albert, that tells you in itself how good of a career Albert Pujols has had.
Does it make you actually a little bit more impressive on Barry though? And hear me out on this. This is not a, you know, I know people feel the way they do about Barry Bonds. They're wrong, but they feel the way they do about Barry Bonds.
Right.
Barry Bonds, no one wanted him to break that record. No one wanted him to get the 700. No one wanted Barry Bonds to do anything for like his last 6 years of his career, and he did it anyways. Everyone wanted Albert to hit this milestone. It's like Albert's everyone's friend. I'm almost more impressed with what Barry did, even more so now, just because no one wanted him to do it. It's like he was the villain of everyone.
He was definitely the villain, and some of that his own doing, albeit. But ultimately, you're right. The thing is, there were many people who didn't think Albert was going to get to this point.
I would have bet money against
him. Right?
You're going to tell me in 2022 he's going to get 25 home run? No.
For Barry, it was inevitable at some point. It was like, okay, he's going to be almost despite everybody. He got there and then added a few more at the end. But again, that's where we are with Albert Pujols. I mean, he is on the same playing field. And I didn't think for a long time we'd ever see that. But then if you got a chance to share a field with Albert, as I have, it was pretty apparent that he was heading this way. I think it was 10 straight years of 300, 30, and 100. You get off to that kind of start as a career, and he wasn't just stopping at third. I mean, he just got to those marks in 10 straight seasons. Mm-hmm. This guy was the truth. I don't know. I've never seen a right-handed hitter on that level.
It's unreal. Period. I mean, the only one I could say is close, but doesn't have the longevity and obviously not going to have the staying power. Miggy. I mean, Miguel Cabrera is as close as you're going to ever get. And I got a question for you. Do you think there's anyone currently playing that we're going to ever see someone get close to 700? Because if you asked me a year ago, I would have said maybe Mike Trout, but he's been having a lot of injuries over these last couple of years to where I'm like, I don't think there's a single guy playing right now that's going to even sniff it. Like even come close. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just that number's impossible.
Yeah, no, I don't see it happening. I mean, at this point, Mike is going to have like one of those incredible seasons to get back on pace where he was prior to the injuries.
And then do it every year for the next 10 years.
And then do it every year for the next 10 years. Maybe Manny, he plays enough. If he plays long enough, he's going to have to continue that. He's going to have at least one like 45 plus season in there, but his longevity could put him on track to do it. But other than that, I can't think of anybody.
Yeah. We look at 500 as this unattainable thing for power hitters, and the way guys come in and out of the game and how young the game has gotten, I don't think anyone's going to ever have the opportunity to be able to play long enough to even hit 500, let alone 200 more. I mean, that's just, it's unbelievable. It truly is. If you really sit down to think of it, it's a milestone that I don't think we're ever going to reach again.
I mean, those are just two names that have an outside chance, but I don't think, I agree with you. I don't think we'll ever see anybody get to 700. As you said, the game wants to get younger, right? So no longer are they, I mean, you pretty much have to be an Albert Pujols in order to get to the point where you play this long. And I just don't see anybody out there on that level at this point.
Me neither. So, me neither.
Salute to Albert Pujols. All right, let's move into this divisional race. NL East is right where I think you and I both said they would be at this point in the year. And it sounds like Mother Nature is going to have an impact on this on this division race with this terrible hurricane or tropical storm that's brewing over Florida right now. That's
scary.
Literally hovering over Atlanta during that what's supposed to be their series. They're already talking about ways to move it, but here we are. We're about 8 games to go, And these two teams are tied right now for the National League East.
Now, I know everybody's posted the graphic that the Mets have an easier schedule going forward and yada, 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 yada. That doesn't mean anything. There's not a single team that either of these teams are going to play that aren't going to try to play Wrecking Crew and spoil their season. I do think this, though, and I would love your take on this. I think this is so much more important for the New York Mets to win this division than the Atlanta Braves. And here's my reasoning. The bye, which I still am not sold, is necessarily a good thing, would be a very good thing for the Mets. Because if you have to play a wild card series and you're going to burn DeGrom and Scherzer game one and two, and you are, you're going to be going to play the Los Angeles Dodgers without DeGrom and Scherzer pitching until game three. That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not... It's not the ideal situation, if you will. I think the Braves are probably better. I should say they're deeper at the starting rotation spot to kind of maybe absorb a wild card series and then go into it. That still will be at a disadvantage, even with that being said. But I agree with that. I think this is an important series for the Mets. They need this, I think, more than the Braves do. And the other thing is, the schedule, throw that out the window when we get to this time of year, right? Because, you know, the Marlins were supposed to be a walkthrough for the Mets yesterday.
Not if Pablo Lopez had anything to say about it.
Right. And so throw all that out the window. And so we'll see. I like the Mets to win this division, you know, what we just finished talking about. In terms of this series, and right now, by the way, if the season was in today, the Braves have the tiebreaker, so they would be the division winner. So it's going to come down to this series right here. I still like the Mets.
I have never in my life, in fact, my entire life, I've, like you probably have, laughed at Mets fans because it's funny. Every year it's funny. Every year that the Mets met it up, it's funny. I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of the meltdowns on social media. It's just the greatest. However, they're not Metsing it up. This team's going to win over 100 games. And I'm officially going to say it. I almost feel bad for Met fans that you're going to win 100 games and still probably not win your division. That is just a tough draw, man.
Yeah. Now, you know, and you know, the other question is, are the Braves being underrated? No. I think the Braves are exactly who everybody thought they were from the beginning of the season. It just took a little bit of time for them to get there. But this team is really good. Now, I will say this. They're going to miss Freddie Freeman, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, when it comes to this time of year. That's the first thing. The other thing is this team is different than last year because I think we might have talked about this before. They're putting there's a lot more at stake for the young guys. Meaning they're the ones that they're relying on a little bit more than some of the veteran-laden guys they relied on come this time of the year last year. And so we'll see how Michael Harris reacts when the lights are at their brightest, the stage is at its biggest. That goes for some of the young guys on the pitching staff as well. So they've gotten there a different way than they did last year.
Yes, big time. I mean, they got there last year, but they did it with a skeleton crew, borderline Frankenstein's monster that they put together. I mean, that's just a chemical mixture that should not have worked.
It worked to perfection.
Incredibly well. I mean, but hey, not to get away too much from there, and I know we'll probably mention it, but you brought up Freddie Freeman. Do you think Freddie Freeman is going to be the difference maker on the LA side? And that's when I keep looking at the Dodgers pitching and worrying about it, but their offense is just so good that I almost don't care. I'm just like, is Freddie Freeman that piece that's going to push them over the hump where people are going to finally be like, okay, the 60-game season actually did count?
I think he can be. I think he has been for this ball club. I think he's the difference of why they're about to break a franchise record in wins. I mean, he's been that good. And what I think is I don't know that he's ever been complimented in a lineup the way he's complimented with the guys he has in front of him. And not only the guys he has in front of him, I think there has to be a lot of credit given to Will Smith.
Because oh, yeah.
They without that type of protection behind him, it may be a different story. Teams wouldn't have to pitch to Freddie nearly as much. And so Will Smith's emergence as that cleanup hitter for them this year, I think has been a sneaky big help for that lineup. But yeah, I think Freddie Freeman can be the difference maker.
I just realized something, Tony. I just had an epiphany, like a true legitimate epiphany with what you just said, because you were talking about the guys that are hitting behind Freddie Freeman. And I get it. Then the first name, before you said Will Smith, my first thought was Chris Taylor. What Chris Taylor has done and how he's been such a great end back end of that offense as well. And I thought about Chris Taylor and how much I played against Chris Taylor in AAA for years. And Chris Taylor was labeled a 4A guy the exact same time I was labeled a 4A guy. And I remember I had an opportunity after I was no longer with the Padres to sign with the Dodgers. I was between signing with the Dodgers, Royals, and Cubs. And I'm looking back and I signed with the Royals. I should have signed with the Dodgers because I see what they have done with every 4A guy. I could have been that 4A. I probably wouldn't have been, but I'm going to use the excuse that the Dodgers could have turned me into Chris Taylor. So my failure to sign with the Dodgers is why the Dodgers have Chris Taylor. You're welcome, LA. I deserve a ring.
Listen, you're not lying. I mean, they have turned or helped turn a lot of guys that many people had given up on, were labeled as a 4A or an extra or a utility guy. And not only have they just turned them into big leagues, I mean, turned them into all-stars. I mean,
both Taylors.
You got Muncy. Trace Thompson is having a fantastic year for them this season.
Oh my God, Trace Thompson. The best of the Thompson family.
The list goes on and on. And that doesn't take away from what these guys have done to make themselves better big leaguers. But there's no doubt that the Dodgers have the market cornered on whatever the information is that you're getting to these guys that allows them to be the best versions of them.
I have regrets, Tony. I have regrets.
No doubt. All right. Let's move on to some of the players who are playing well. First of all, let's start with the MVP race, because in the National League, I think there has been a door opened by Paul Goldschmidt, who has all of a sudden slowed down significantly in September when you have some other guys right now, including Manny Machado, going this way at a very fast rate. They're going up. And so what was a foregone conclusion maybe a month ago. I don't know that. I feel the conversation already starting to kind of change a little bit. Am I wrong in that, Cody?
No, you're not wrong. And this is, you know how everyone's talking about Aaron Judge and the argument everybody's making for Aaron Judge over Shohei Ohtani was, well, you know, you take Shohei Ohtani off the Angels and they're the same Angels. You take Judge off the Yankees, well, they're just not the same Yankees. The Padres are in last place if it weren't for Manny Machado. Like, period. Don't know what else to tell you. I mean, he has been such a difference maker that when the whole collapse in San Diego has been taking place, Manny has been sitting there with duct tape just putting it back together because he's that good. And on paper, I mean, we know how good the Padres are. And as long as they can hold on to this wild card spot, they can go and throw an absolute blowtorch into October.
Yeah, 18 games over 500 as we speak. That's the best they've been all season long to get the walk-off win on a walk last night against the Dodgers. You're right, man. I mean, he's been amazing. He had the ankle injury that looked like the season could be over when he turned it in Denver. Came back a week later when nobody else was thinking he would have a shot to come back in months, let alone a week. And has just proceeded to, when the team has needed him most, put him on their back. And as you said, offensively, defensively, we've seen him win a game running bases this year. I mean, he's put together a fantastic year. And without Paul Goldschmidt struggling in September. I don't know that we're having the conversation, but he has struggled. And, you know, it's not just him. I mean, you've really, he's really opened the door for a slew of guys, right?
Mookie Betts is on that. Trey Turner. Mookie Betts,
Freddie Freeman. Now, there's some good arguments to be made that, you know, as you said, you take Manny off the Padres, this team is really, really hurt. Really hurt. You take Freddie off the Dodgers, we know what they look like, actually.
They probably would still win the division by 15 games.
they're a 100-win team regardless, right? And the same could be said for some of the other Dodgers that you have, because they're loaded. I think we know that. But Manny Machado is certainly making a push. I still think Goldschmidt at this point has a slight edge, but that gap is being closed very fast.
You know, I would be surprised if Goldschmidt does lose this, just because he has been, especially if you look at the gambling lines, he has been such the shortest odds. I mean, he's been in negative numbers. And when it comes to MVP futures, if you're in negative numbers, that is basically saying, yeah, you won the award. It's not even a close second. Like,
I mean, listen, despite all that, what we just said about his month of September, he's still hitting 317, 35, 112 RBIs, leads MLB in slugging, OPS, OPS plus, and total bases. So he don't get it twisted. He might be having a rough September, but his numbers are overall are still
just incredible. Hey, you mentioned the walk-off walk. I have a question. You and I did a podcast here 2 weeks ago here on Big Time Baseball. Did it cross your mind, my thought process on what the Dodgers need to do with their bullpen for October? First thing I said, Doc, I hope to God you're listening to this podcast, because Julio Urias needs to be your closer all October long.
Yeah. Listen, at this point, they may not be able to do it because their starting rotation is so.
I know. The Dodgers are in a little bit of trouble. I really think they are.
Like, They said Gosselin was just going to miss a start. He hasn't pitched since that. What was that? I think it was a series against the Padres. A month ago, right?
Yeah.
You know, Walker Buehler's done for the season. You got Trinan, who just went on the IL as well. I mean, Tyler Anderson, Tyler Anderson is going to be one of your series. Starting pitchers. So I don't know that they can move Urias at this point, which still leaves a lot of question marks in that bullpen.
Really does. And that back end, the reason why I want Urias back there is because I know what he is. Like, you know, he can go and close out games. Not to mention, hell, you could use him like you used him in 2020, and you can have him close out the last three innings of every game. And when I'm looking at that starting rotation, I sure as hell don't want Andrew Heaney as my closer. Nothing against the guy, but I know my strengths, and I don't think he's a closer.
Yeah, no, they have a lot more questions going into this playoff series, playoff run than they did last year.
Isn't that crazy? And they're about to win 112 games.
I know, it's baseball. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. All right, that's all we got for this week. Cody, where can folks find you?
Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Decker6 and at Instagram, Antihero Baseball. And hey, don't be afraid to turn on FS1 early on in the morning for the Carton Show. You can check me out 7 to 9:30 Monday through Friday on FS1 on the Carton Show. I'm the handsome guy with the beard.
This guy is everywhere. You can catch me on the Padres broadcast every Padre game. You can also catch me on Gwen and Chris Monday through Friday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. out in San Diego on 97.3 The Fan at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. Until next time. But first, make sure you subscribe, like Big Time Baseball, Odyssey Sports, all that.
Absolutely.
Till next week.
Like,
till next
beat it.
Till next week.